Blog Talk Radio.
Here is Joe Ganzis with Around the Kit.
Hey guys, what's going on? And welcome back to a special edition, a Friday noon edition of Around the Kit. I'm your host, Joe Ganzis. And for the next hour, that's right, 60 minutes, we'll be doing a special interview just for the tremendous, legendary Jim Riley. Jim will be calling in about 15 minutes, and I'm going to re-air this Sunday night, June 19th, along with Jim, Tom Hurst, Mike Vanderhoel, and Jim Alvira. So anybody who's listening out there, this is an hour show. If you're out there, 646-787-8027, give me a call. But in the meantime, we'll just talk a little drums and wait for Jim. Just wanted to send my prayers and just my prayers out to the great Ian Pace. Early this week, he suffered a mild stroke. The reports say he's going to be okay, but he had numbness in the left side. He said he should be back in a month. One of the best of all time. We wish Ian Pace a speedy recovery. Guys, we are here, 646-787-8027. We'll do a couple of promos in the meantime, just kill some time.
1, 2, 3, 4.
This portion of Around the Kit is brought to you by the Ford Drum Company. Ford Drums crafts some of the finest drums and related products on the planet. Ford will not manufacture a commodity. They are creating heirloom, best-in-class instruments and accessories. They won't settle for less. why should you? Visit the Ford Drum Company today at FordDrums.com. That's FordDrums.com.
This portion of Around the Kit is brought to you by Cooper Groove Performance Drumsticks, the evolution of the drumstick. Cooper Groove drumsticks are custom cut from American hickory and feature 20 cross-cut grooves that will increase grip, decrease sweat, and stimulate pressure points. Try them today with a no-risk, 100% money-back, keep-the-grooves guarantee. Cooper Groove drumsticks were invented by a drummer for drummers. Be sure to visit online at coopergroove.com and keep the groove.
Around the Kit is sponsored by DrumTax.com. DrumTax are a U.S. patent poly mirror that absorbs vibration in lieu of creating a dead spot that leaves a flat or damper tone for use on anything percussive. DrumTax leave unlimited tonal possibilities. DrumTax are selective. A single tack placed about an inch from the rim will remove only the high-frequency overtone and leave a deeper focused sound with improved response and increased attack. As the tack is moved toward the center of the drum, more frequencies are removed and dampering occurs. Visit DrumTax.com today. That's DrumTax.com.
And now back to Around the Kit with Joe Ganzis.
Guys, we are back. 646-787 8027, about 10 minutes away, not even, with the great Jim Riley. Today is a special show. It's going to be taped today, and I'm going to air it this Sunday night. So if you're out there, give me a call, 646-787-8027. In the meantime, we'll talk about some stuff in drum world. Like I said before, we wish Ian Pace a speedy recovery. This week he had a mild stroke, so we wish him the best, one of the best ever. And, you know, he's a drummer that I really haven't studied that much in my career. But the last couple of years, I've really gotten into him. Great, great chops, man. Great speed, great fluid action with his wrists. And a lot of people say he has a lot of buddy in him. And I agree with that. You know, he does have a lot of Buddy Rich style in him. Just a great drummer. We wish him the best. Like I said, we are waiting for the great Jim Riley. Might have some dead air because I'm looking to just tape this the right way. So we'll see what happens. In the meantime, we'll play our newest sponsor from Drumhead Magazine.
This portion of Around the Kit is sponsored by Drumhead Magazine, the only drum magazine in the world owned and edited by a top recording and touring pro, Jonathan Mover. Read interviews and stories no one else can get. Go to drumheadmag.com and get a free gift with your subscription. That's drumheadmag.com. Around the Kit is brought to you by Evans Drumheads. Oh, yeah. Evans Drumheads offers a variety of bass drum heads, including their popular E-Man model in both bass drum hoop and tom hoop versions. For all you drummers who are using a 16-inch bass drum or have converted your 16-inch floor tom into a kick, visit evansdrumheads.com for more information. Around the Kit is sponsored by Modern Drummer Magazine, the world's number one drum magazine. Don't forget to check out the June issue featuring weather reports, Peter Erskine, Kenny Arnoff, Yes's John Anderson, and much, much more. Look for it at your favorite music store, all guitar centers, and Barnes & Noble bookstores. Be sure to visit moderndrummer.com for up-to-the-minute drumming news and information.
And now, back to Around the Kit with Joe Ganzis.
Guys, 646-787-8027. We are awaiting the great Jim Riley any minute. Going to be about a 40-minute interview. Only have an hour today doing a special show for Jim. So this show will be airing on June 19th, along with Tom Hurst, Mike Vanderhoof, and a local great drummer, Jim Alvera. Guys, 646-787-8027. If you're out there, give me a call. You want to talk about something, but we are awaiting the great Jim Riley. Six four six seven eight seven eight oh two seven. We are awaiting the great Jim Riley. Do do 646-787-8027 Around the Kit with Joe Ganzis. Guys, guys, I see my first guest of the night on the line. I'm going to play a cool piece from this great drummer and then pick up the great Jim Riley.
now back to Around the Kit with Joe Ganzis.
Guys, we are back. 646-787-8027. And to say I'm pumped up is the least. It gives me great pleasure to welcome one of the best in the business, the great Jim Riley, to the show. Jim, Joe Ganzis, Around the Kit. What's up, brother?
Ben, just hanging out at home, getting ready to fly to Vancouver tomorrow.
Great, brother. We appreciate the time, and big, big fan. Thank you so much for giving me some of your time, Jim, today.
Yeah, absolutely, man. It's I'm really excited to be here talking to you, man. This is a really neat concept, Drummer Radio. I love it.
Yeah, I've been doing it for about 7 months, and it's just been taking off. Guys like you and the best in the business. You know, I want to go back a little bit like I always do. We started playing drums, I think, the same year, 82, if I'm correct, or studying. You know, back in 82, Jim, I had so many different types of music. I was into everything from the Beatles to Iron Maiden. What was it about music that you wanted to get into, and especially drumming, about the age 12?
Well, there was something about music that had drawn me to it actually far earlier than that. I remember being in kindergarten and just being fixated on being a musician before I had even started playing an instrument. So there was something, you know, that I was really identifying with. And I started to play guitar when I was in about the fourth grade, and it just didn't really click for me. And, you know, I remember seeing a commercial for the Kiss Alive 2 album, and yeah, just seeing Peter Criss on this riser just going up and up and up with the cat and the toms wrapping around the drum set, and I went, that's the job that I want. And so I begged my parents to let me play.
Hello. I think we lost you, Jim.
No, that's fine.
Jim, you keep breaking up. I lost you right now.
Yeah, I know. I was hoping.
I keep losing you. Jim, if you can call back 646-787-8027. Maybe a different line, a different number. Guys, sometimes this happens, live radio, you know, so we await the great Jim Riley to call back. I know he was a big Kiss fan back then. I wanted to ask him about that. I'm glad he brought that up. So we are awaiting Jim Riley to call back. 646-787-8027. Hopefully any minute Jim will be calling us back. Sometimes these connections go bad, and see what happens. Waiting for the great Jim Riley to call back. 646-787-8027. Jim. We are waiting. Hopefully he calls back. Jim Riley on Around the Kit. We are waiting. Maybe he's changing phones. Who knows? Guys, after Jim, we got the great Tom Hurst, Mike Vanderhoel, and Jimmy Alvera. Should be a great show as long as Jim can maybe call back. 646-787-8027. Waiting for the great Jim Riley. I think he lost a connection somewhere. I don't want to play a promo, and then in the middle of promo, he calls back, and I got to stop. I just want to wait. Hopefully be any minute. Waiting for the great Jim Riley to call back. Jimmy, you out there. Jim, you out there. Still a little promo, and then we will await the great Jim Riley.
Around the Kit is sponsored by DrumTax.com. DrumTax are a U.S. patent poly mirror that absorbs vibration in lieu of creating a dead spot that leaves a flat or damper tone for use on anything percussive. DrumTax leave unlimited tonal possibilities. DrumTax are selective. A single tack placed about an inch from the rim will remove only the high-frequency overtone and leave a deeper focused sound with improved response and increased attack. As the tack is moved toward the center of the drum, more frequencies are removed and dampering occurs. Visit DrumTax.com today. That's DrumTax.com.
And now back to Around the Kit with Joe Ganzis.
Guys, we are awaiting the return of Jim Riley. Hopefully he calls back. And he just texted me that he's in transit and he's looking to call back. Hopefully any second. Guys, wanted to send my condolences and my best wishes out to once again to Ian Pace. He had a mild stroke this week, so we hope he gets better. Let's play another promo while we wait for Jim.
This portion of Around the Kit is brought to you by Cooper Groove Performance Drumsticks, the evolution of the drumstick. Cooper Groove drumsticks are custom cut from American hickory and feature 20 cross-cut grooves that will increase grip, decrease sweat, and stimulate pressure points. Try them today with a no-risk, 100% money-back, keep-the-grooves guarantee. Cooper Groove drumsticks were invented by a drummer for drummers. Be sure to visit online at coopergroove.com and keep the groove. And now back to Around the Kit with Joe Ganzis.
Guys, we are waiting on Jim Riley. We lost the connection a little while ago, and we are awaiting him to return. Hopefully it's soon. Just told me he's in transit, and so we'll wait for Jim. After Jim, we got the great Tom Hurst and Mike Vanderhoof, and then Jim Alvera. So it should be a great show as long as Jimmy gets back to us.
1, 2, 3, 4.
This portion of Around the Kit is brought to you by the Ford Drum Company. Ford Drums crafts some of the finest drums and related products on the planet. Ford will not manufacture a commodity. They are creating heirloom, best-in-class instruments and accessories. They won't settle for less. Why should you? Visit the Ford Drum Company today at forddrums.com. That's forddrums.com.
And now back to Around the Kit with Joe Ganzis.
Guys, 646-787-8027. We are awaiting the great Jim Riley. He just texted me. He should be back in a minute. So hopefully he'll be okay. Guys, we see Jim. We're going to pick him up. Here he is. Hey, Jim. What's up, brother?
Hey, man. Sorry about that. I'm back.
It's cool, bro. Don't worry about it. I wanted to ask you about Peter Criss and Kiss. What was it back then? You know, so many drummers I talked to have attributed their love for drums for Peter Criss. What was it about Peter Criss, about his playing, that doesn't get enough credit?
Well, I mean, you know, I mean, I don't want to overblow it, but in a lot of ways, he had a very similar effect with his band that Ringo had with his band. It wasn't that
exactly.
He was doing things that
yes.
were just completely like phenomenal from a technical standpoint, but he was laying the groundwork on these tunes in a way that like let the rest of the tune lay up on top of what he was doing so effortlessly. Mm-hmm. And besides that, I mean, you know, he's a great drummer, great showman. I loved everything he was doing. He's actually one of the drummers in this world I would really love to meet one day.
Jim, don't you think sometimes, and I do it, I don't know if you do it, we're spoiled. We see the Neil Peart from Rush, and we see the Billy Cobb and the guys like yourself, always doing cool stuff. But we forget about the Charlie Watts, the Ringo Starrs, the Peter Criss. Why is that?
Man, I don't know. I don't. We opened up a show for Ringo. I mean, excuse me. We opened up a show for Charlie Watts. And I did get to meet Charlie, and to speak to Charlie was just, you know, just such an honor to meet like a living legend of drumming like that. But I don't know. I mean, you know, doing what I do, you know, playing two and four for a living, you know, you really continue to appreciate what guys like Charlie Watts and Ringo Starr and Peter Criss and guys that just, you know, they knew their role in the band. They laid it down. They weren't trying to take over the whole show. They were just trying to do their part in the process of that. I mean, they really made some great music, all of them.
Absolutely. Guys, we're talking to the great Jim Reilly. You know, you move later on, you get a degree in music education in North Texas. Why North
mm-hmm.
Texas? And talk to me about studying with Arthur Press.
Yeah. Well, so I studied with Arthur Press in high school.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up, of course, in Natick, Massachusetts. I was born in Boston, Massachusetts, and I played in the Greater Boston Youth Symphony. And when I was playing in that youth symphony, someone had recommended to me that I study with Arthur. So I met Arthur, and he was tremendous, and he really, really helped me out a lot in terms of becoming a much more well-rounded percussionist, playing real concert snare drum, playing marimba, playing timpani, and developing a really good feel for it. And so it was a really great experience with Arthur. The interesting thing was when I was getting ready to go to college, I brought Arthur a list, and I said, I'm thinking about going to Indiana, University of Miami, or North Texas. And he actually rated them 1, 2, 3 that way. And I went, oh, okay. But it was my high school band director that had gone to North Texas, and he was the one who had kind of opened my eyes to what kind of school that was. And for me, the fact that you know, drum set was such a big part of what I did, and you know, the jazz program is really second to none there. And then when you add to it the fact that the drumline program that they had there was, and the percussion department itself was absolutely, you know, world class and second to none, and was a program that people were modeling their own program after, it became really apparent that that was the place that I should go. So I graduated from high school and headed down to North Texas in the fall. Actually, it was the summer of 1987.
Great. And I think there you won 5 championships. Talk to me about that, because, you know, I'm not too educated, I'll be honest, Jim, on the whole drumline thing. I think it's great. I would love to get into it more. Talk to me about winning 5 championships and Ed Sof.
Yeah, well, there's talk about two different worlds. And that was kind of the theme for me, is I was one of those guys that was really living in a lot of different worlds at North Texas. I was playing in the jazz bands.
I was playing in the percussion ensembles. I was playing in the drum line. I was playing in the symphony orchestra. I was probably one of the only people that was doing all of those things. Now, when I showed up, I thought, man, you know, I've got some chops. I've worked on, you know, some on my rudiments, and I felt really pretty confident about my playing. And I showed up, and someone said, hey, there's some drum auditions over there, over by the annex. I went, oh, okay, well, I guess I should show up. It turns out it was the drumline audition. I showed up, and long story short, I was just really like unprepared for the level of mastery that these guys were dealing with on the rudimental side of things. Mm-hmm. They just were taking it to a level that I wasn't really fully aware of, and it really kicked my butt. And so I ended up joining the drum line. I actually played the top bass drum in a 5 bass drum line, and I was the only one of only 2 freshman drummers that were even carrying a drum. The other one was a snare drummer that had marched DCI. And it was a great experience. We worked from when I got there in August till October 31st. And we ended up winning a national championship for collegiate drum lines. And we ended up doing that 5 years in the time that I was there. It was a fantastic program. And in that time, I was also a solo timpani individual champion as well. Mm-hmm. Those were both with the Percussive Arts Society. And on the other side of things, I was trying to be a drum set player, and I showed up to audition for the jazz bands and, you know, got my butt kicked just as hard or harder, because there was 150 percussion music majors at North Texas at that time. And I was competing with all of them to try to get in one of those 9 jazz bands. And I realized really early that, whoa, I've got a lot of work to do. And fortunately, that's when I was able to, you know, start studying with Ed Sof. And that was a really, it was a lot of work, but a really fantastic experience.
Guys, we're talking to the tremendous Jim Riley. Jim, you just mentioned something. You got your butt kicked. Everybody in life, sometime or another, we get our butt kicked. We ultimately fail in something. But to Joe Ganzis, my least favorite word is the word can't. I don't like it. It means failure. It means you're lazy. Talk to me about persevering and what that did for you when someone tells you, oh, you're not good or you're not going to make it. How does that motivate a Jim Riley?
Well, I mean, you know, you doing what I've been able to do, what I've been fortunate enough to do, is not really the normal path.
Mm-hmm.
You know, really following your dreams, jumping into it with both feet like you're jumping off a cliff, is just not as normal as we would think. I mean, I think we try to tell our young people, hey, you can be whatever you want to be, but, you know, you really have to commit to things. Jumping off the cliff, you know, with both feet, not knowing where you're going to land sometimes. And so, yeah, there were definitely times in my career. I had high school advisors asking me why I was even applying to college. That actually happened. I remember being in Kansas City right before I moved to Nashville, and I had a really talented drummer tell me, don't do it, don't go there, you got a good thing going here, you're becoming like one of the guys here, you know, it's like, don't go there and just be part of the million drummers that are down there. Right. You know, he says, I went down there and it's just, you know, I just don't know if it's going to work out for you. And I went, man, I got to try, you know, I got to try to do this. And I've always done that. That's just been the way that I've operated.
Great. You mentioned Kansas City. You moved there in 95. Talk to me about taking a job at the Kansas City Drum World Building, selling custom drums. What was that about, and what did that do for you?
Well, it was funny. I had I had landed in Kansas City Basically, because at this time in my life, I was rolling back a year. I school in 1994, and it was great, and it was a tremendous experience, and I was using my degree in music education. But what I realized was I was not pursuing my dreams, which my dream to be a professional player. So I had to quit that job. I took the first thing that came along, which was this really ill-fated tour. The only really good thing that happened on that tour was I met a guitar player named Jeff Sheets, who lived up in Kansas City. And after the tour, he asked me if I would come up to Kansas City and do a record with him. I went and did the record with him, did a couple of great records with him, by the way. There's a record called Pawn Shop by Jeff Sheets. And it actually still really holds up. It's an instrumental kind of metal thing, and it's a really good record. But going up there and playing with Jeff was not a full-time job. So Jeff used some of his connections in town and said, hey, I know some guys at the shop called Kansas City Drum Works, and I could probably get you a job there. So he walked me in, and I was, you know, 25 years old, and I'd never worked at a drum shop. And this was a really kind of loose, you know, it was like the third best drum shop in Kansas City at that time, you know. And so it was really loose, but the drums they were making were great. And so I learned a lot about retail. I learned a lot about custom drums, and it was a great experience. I mean, working at a drum shop, you know, I feel like I learned something that I couldn't have learned anywhere else. And it was a great experience. And I'm still friends with a couple of those guys that I worked with even back then.
Awesome. Great stuff. Guys, we're talking to the tremendous Jim Riley. 97, you make the move to Nashville. Talk to me about, you know, what was going on there again and your first major gig with Mark Chestnut.
Yeah. So I moved to Nashville in 97. I didn't have much of a plan. I just knew that I needed to get out of Kansas City. One of the most beneficial things that I did when I was in Kansas City is I played this gig with some old timers. I mean, you know, the lead singer was like 70 years old. And I was this long haired, you know, rocker kid from Massachusetts, but they were getting a good young drummer. And I was getting a country music education because, you know, you live up in Massachusetts, you're not going to learn a lot about country music. Well, these guys were playing. And so I learned so much of the music that when I moved to Nashville, I knew the music. And so when I would go on Lower Broadway, I could sit in anywhere. It was like I'd been playing this music for a couple of years now. So I may have looked like a rocker from Massachusetts, but I knew the songs. You know, I could sing some of the songs. I knew how the chord changes went if anybody had a question about them. So I became pretty useful, and I really got myself integrated in with the Nashville scene. And it was during one of those local gigs on Broadway in Nashville. I was playing from 6 to 10 with a guy, and the bass player got the gig with a country singer from Texas named Mark Chestnut, who was very successful at the time. And he was able to pull me along into that gig. So all of a sudden I went from a kid that was playing, you know, for $20 or $40 on Broadway in Nashville to my first gig with Mark, which was on live television, was the that show The View. It was the very first season of The View.
Right.
With Barbara Walters. And so, like, that was my first gig with him, was just live on national TV. And that gig was really great for me. It gave me a lot of credibility. All of a sudden, you know, in Nashville, people are like, oh, yeah, this is Jim Riley. He plays with Mark Chestnut. And, you know, and it opened up a lot of positive doors for me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was on the 99 Mark Chestnut tour where I met a couple guys named Jay DeMarcus and Joe Don Rooney, who ended up being 2/3 of Rascal Flatts later.
Yes, and we come to Rascal Flatts. What a tremendous band. Really love everything about it. I've been a fan, me and my daughter, for about 5 years now. Great stuff. 2000, I think you start getting involved in Rascal Flatts. I always ask my guests, was that a vital point in Jim Riley's career? Was that one of the game changes?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I felt very, I mean, without being cocky, I felt very confident about my ability to find work in Nashville, because I feel like the formula of what I was doing was really good. It was that I was willing to come to town, be a side man, and be the guy that was going to be like the fuel cell for the band. So, you know, just bring the energy, bring the passion, learn the music, have respect for the music. I could sing. I had musical knowledge. So I felt like, you know, something was going to work out, and it worked out a lot sooner than later that, you know, the gig that would end up being a big piece of my career, you know, fell in my lap in 2000. So what happened was in 99, when we had Mark Chestnut had a girl named Shelley Wright opening up for her, and two of the guys in her band were Jay and Joe Don. And so we got to know each other really well on that tour, and then we would play gigs together during the week, and we'd be touring on the weekend. We were together all the time, and they said, hey, you know, we're trying to put something together and get a record deal. And, you know, if we got a record deal, would you be interested in playing with us? And I went, yeah, absolutely. And so they got a record deal. They showed me what they were up to. And I said, absolutely. So in 2000, I signed on to go on the road with those guys. And a lot of people felt like that was a really silly move, because I was with an artist that had, you know, a dozen number one hits. And,
right.
And I was going to an act that had no hits. I mean, their record wasn't even out. Their single wasn't even out. But I believed in them. I thought that they had a bright future. And so I decided to take a chance on them. They took a chance on me. And here we are 16 years later. We're still doing it.
Excellent stuff. You know, Jim, so far twice in the interview, you mentioned taking chances, and I do it all the time. I am not afraid to fail, but let me get there. Let me try. For all the drummers out there who are in their house right now practicing, saying, wow, this is one of the best in the business. He took some chances. Why shouldn't I? What would you say to them, to the people who are afraid to maybe, you know, take that next step?
Well, I mean, I remember being there. I remember being, you know, having that yearning for my career, wanting to go to the next level. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that desire alone doesn't propel it forward. You know, there's a couple things that you've got to do. You've got to do the work. You've got to respect the music. And then, you know, you've also got to put yourself in a position to succeed. And in my case, that was moving to Nashville. You know, I had been living in Dallas after college, and it's a great music city. But it was more of a local music city. And Kansas City was the same way. There was a great music scene, but it was very much local. I knew that I had to be someplace that had national connections if I wanted. It's sort of like, you know, saying I want to win the lottery without playing a ticket, you know?
Right.
I mean, you have to give yourself a chance. And so moving to a spot like Nashville, and, you know, even as a guy from Massachusetts who's not a Southern guy, you know, I had to look at it logically and go, okay, I've got New York, I've got L.A., and I've got Nashville. And Nashville clearly looked like the best choice for me in terms of, like, how much it costs, the cost of living to live there. You know, during the time where that the city of Nashville was really appealing to me, it was during the grunge era. Now, I liked all that grunge music. I love it. I still love it. But I acknowledge that a lot of people, the general radio listener, was really turned off by that music. So they turned to something else. And that's when Garth Brooks and Trisha Yearwood and Reba McEntire started to become, you know, household names. So I heard all that music like everybody else. And I heard the level of just incredible musicianship that was on these albums. And I went, wow, man, I want to move to Nashville and be a part of that. And so yeah, it was kind of a no brainer for me, but I had to take the chance. I had to take the risk. I mean, I moved to Nashville with no job, with no prospects, with no connections. I lived at a drum shop that I was working at. Then when the drum shop closed, I literally lived in my pickup truck with my dog and my drums for like probably 2 weeks before I got a call from Rich Redman, who said, "Hey," he said, "Hey, buddy, will you watch my cat for 2 weeks?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I'll watch your cat. Just give me the keys to that little apartment of yours, and I'll watch your cat." And he went away for 2 weeks, and I moved in. I was in it, and so he came home, and I was living in his apartment. I asked him how much his rent was. I gave him half that amount, and I told him I was his new roommate. And so that's how we ended up, becoming roommates at a really, interesting time in our career where we were both. I mean, we moved to town the same month.
Right.
So it was just kind of an interesting, like re-meeting each other, because we'd known each other briefly at North Texas when he was getting his master's and I was finishing my bachelor's.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you got to take that chance, man.
Jim, talk to me about this great book, Survival Guide for the Modern Drummer. What was the main what's the one thing you wanted to convey when writing this book?
What I wanted to do was I've made my career on the fact that there isn't really a lot stylistically that I can't do. So if I get called to play a big band thing, I can do it. If I get called to play something that's got some Latin elements, I can do it. If I get called to do a metal record, I can do it. If I get called to play country, I can do it. And so what I wanted to do is I wanted to create an instrument that would help people get to that point where they're like, okay, if you're not going to become a master at every kind of music, but if I could develop something, a tool for people that would help them increase the amount of musical genres that they felt comfortable with, that I could help them become a more marketable player because they're more well-rounded. They could literally take any phone call because they feel confident playing any style. So that's what that's what I started out with.
You know, Jim, guys, we're talking to the great Jim Reilly. He's been so gracious to give me some time today. I believe in life we need a great supporting cast around us. I really believe that. We can't do it ourselves. Do you get that in your wife, Jamie? Is she always there for you? Is she a big supporter in everything you do?
Well, fortunately, my wife and I met under musical circumstances. She's a great singer herself. If you guys went on YouTube and you typed in Jim Reilly before, which is a song from my first book, you'll actually see a video that I'm playing drums, but you'll hear my wife singing, a tune that I wrote, for that book. But she's a fantastic singer. So she, as they say, gets it, she gets it. She understands.
Right.
We've had the same relationship since we met. I'd be going on the road and I'd be coming home, and there's kind of a certain rhythm to our relationship that works that way. And she's been very supportive. And I have to say that almost more importantly, she was very supportive with me doing this Survival Guide for the Modern Drummer book, because let me tell you, it took a lot of time. It took a lot of money. And, the one thing that really puts strain on relationships is money. And I spent a lot of it. I spent a lot of it doing that project because, I didn't want to just, lock five musicians in a room for, 5 days and just kind of pound out everything. I spent 2 years with 40 musicians making sure that I crafted every tune, to have the right players for every track. Like that track you played earlier was the Brazilian Samba track from my book. That's got a full horn section, got Lalo Davila from MTSU playing percussion and vocals. And it's, you know, it was an incredible ordeal. Like, I mean, the whole book took 5 years, and every time I worked on that book, it took me away from my family. And to have a family that was supportive of the project, that I don't think I could have finished it without having their support.
Great, great stuff. You know, Jim, I'm doing this show, and I have an ultimate goal. I think this show needs to be on Sirius Radio, a platform where, like yourself, we can talk. If he's in town, come and do a solo. So I'm striving. Every day, I'm taking baby steps, as I call them. And I attribute my show to climbing a ladder, Jim. And every day I'm climbing.
Yeah.
I'm getting up there. I'm like, if there's 10 steps on the ladder, I'm about 3 or 4 steps. But I have no problem. Keep trying. How's the ladder in Jim Riley's life? Are you to the top yet, or are you still trying?
Well, I think what you realize when you're climbing the ladder is that life always throws extra rungs. On that sucker.
Yeah.
And, you know, the biggest thing for me, and this is what I try to tell any of my students or anybody that's looking for advice, is that you have to wake up every day, and I know you do this, Joe. You have to wake up every day going, how can I get closer to making my dream a reality?
Mm-hmm.
You have to do that every day. You can't let one day go by, because one day turns into 2 weeks, turns into 2 months, 2 years, a decade. And then, you know, your dreams sort of slip away from you. And so every day, and the people that I know that have been really successful in the music business, particularly like singers, they've been told no so many times. You know, you've been told no. You've tried to get your thing on Sirius, probably already. Not no, but you know, no is just it's just another chance to ask, and another chance to make your product. But mm-hmm. No is saying raise the bar, and so you raise the bar, and that's what you do, and you do that every day until you get to a point where the answer's yes. And, you know, that's what I've done with my career for sure, is tried to make sure that every day I woke up and tried to do something positive for my career. So today, this was that positive thing I was doing with my career. Talking to you.
Great stuff, Jim. I can't thank you so much for this time. I am a huge fan. Love everything you do. I love when you write shots and you video it. You get so into it, brother. You have so much passion. One of the best in the business. And at the end of my interviews, Jim, I ask my guests one question, and their answer is that on a scale of 1 to 10, brother, honestly, rate this interview.
Oh, I would say the interview on your side was I would say probably – preparation wise, I would say it was a 10, man. I mean, you nailed your preparation, and you keep the topics going, and you know, yeah, it was great, man. You did a great job, and I've talked to people that, you know, think they know who I am, and people that should know, like if that's their job to know, and they completely just have no idea. And man, it makes it miserable, because you're just correcting them the whole time, and you go, well, no, that's not actually what I do, you know. And so having somebody that's prepared and passionate about what they do, I mean, that's what it's all about.
Jim Riley, I can't thank you enough, brother. We will continue to follow you on your drumming journey. Rascal Flatts going to be out there, and we anything you want to plug real fast?
Yeah, you know, I mean, if people want to get in touch with me, they can definitely find me on all the usual type of channels. You know, you can follow my YouTube stuff. Just go Jim Riley Drums and you'll find me on there. But you can look on my website, jimrileymusic.com. You can see my book, Survival Guide for the Modern Drummer. And I just wanted to say that Monday I'm going to be in Vancouver, and I'm going to be playing on Drumeo live. I believe, at like 4 o'clock, but check that out. The listings, Dremio is a great educational website, and I'm going to be playing some more tracks from my book. And Joe, I really appreciate you, buddy.
Jim, we hope to do this in the future, and we will continue to follow you on your drumming journey. Thanks so much. Everybody, Jim Riley. Thanks, man.
Thank you, Joe.
Have a great night. Bye-bye. Guys, that was the great Riley.